Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, August 5th, 2012.
Turn in your Bible to the 60th chapter of Isaiah. In this last section of Isaiah, in chapters 60 to 66, I mean to 40 to 66, form the second chapter of Isaiah, which is devoted mainly to the Lord, to the Christ. And in the last section of this second part of Isaiah, in chapters 59 or 58 to 66, are kind of a wrap-up of his prophecy, completing it, but it's main section is what the Jewish rabbis called the days of Messiah. And chapter 60 especially refers to that day that the prophet has been talking about all through his prophecy. Wherever in Isaiah you read that day, he is referring to this time. And chapter 60 is the dawning of that day, where in verse 1 he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." It is a wonderful day, and this chapter 60, in fact, all of this prophet of Isaiah, but especially these chapters, are from the Jewish point of view, the Jewish national point of view, as for the Jewish nation. We have the other side of that viewpoint in the 20th chapter of Revelation, where we have the Christian view of that time, where in Revelation 20, beginning with the verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and seated on them were those whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark in their foreheads. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And it is that 1,000 years that Isaiah is describing in this wonderful section of Isaiah. So beginning in chapter 60, we see the dawning of that day, elsewhere called the day of our God, or sometimes the day of the Lord. And it is the golden age of which all the prophets spoke. And Israel is unique among the nations in that all of the nations have a lost golden age that they look back to. Remember the glory that was Rome. Remember the glory of Greece. Those days, classical days, and of those classical languages and all of their contributions to our modern society. Well, the French look back maybe a couple of centuries to the time when their language was the lingua franca of all the cultured, civilized world. The language of diplomacy, the language that was superior to all the rest. And now they are grumpy because people don't feel the same way they do about it. And remember the saying about the British Empire? They have an empire on which the sun never sets. Well, that empire dissolved rather quickly after World War II. So every people has a golden nation in the past, excepting Israel. They've never looked to the past as an age to be desired or to look back to. their golden age has always been future. And that's because the promises to God, beginning with Abraham, were concerning the future. God gave promises to Abraham that were for all of the future, some of them immediate, some of them more distant, as fulfilled in the Old Testament, some of them fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ, and others of them have yet to be fulfilled. And pious and Orthodox Jews to this day look forward to the days of Messiah. And that's what this chapter is about. And the days of Israel glory yet to come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Speaking of it like the dawning of a day, when the sun rises and then fills all the earth with the glory of its light. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples or the nations. And I've heard a saying, I don't believe it's quite true, but I've heard a saying that it's always darkest just before the dawn. But that is certainly going to be the truth concerning this day, for we have read the last part, chapter in the book. We have read the book of Revelation, and we know that before that day comes, it is going to become dark and terrible, and especially for the Jewish nation. And that's what he is saying here, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, that is all the nations. Darkness frequently speaks of spiritual and moral matters, and that is what he is speaking of here. But the Lord will rise upon you, upon Israel, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Most of Christians deny that there is any future for national Israel in God's plan. Most Christian churches take the position that of the unfortunate position of the church fathers that the church has replaced Israel. But nowhere in the Bible will you ever find that God replaced Israel with anything. God does not replace. He creates anew, as when he created the church. But that did not deny all of his promises made to the nation of Israel. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That will certainly be a change of fortune. From today, all through this time of Israel's exile, they have been a thorn in the side of every nation. And because they were a people different, they would not meld and mix in with other people. And that is the source of the anti-Semitism of all times. And nations shall come to your light and kings to your brightness. And then the prophet speaks of the ingathering of Israel. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be returned to you, and the wealth of nations shall be come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those of Sheba shall come, And they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news and praises for the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Now, this is a very remarkable passage, speaking of the ingathering of Israel. And we have seen a kind of foretaste of what that will be in our own lifetime. In fact, the Jews call their history from 1948 to now the ingathering of Israel to their land. And when someone immigrates into Israel to become a citizen, a part of that country, they say he is making aliyah. Aliyah is a Hebrew word meaning to go up. It was used of Jerusalem, to go up to Jerusalem, because no matter what direction you approach Jerusalem, you're going up, because it sits on a top of one of the hills of the central mountainous region of Israel, and that became a saying, even in the Bible, to go up to Jerusalem. And the Jews of today have modified that word. Anyone who comes to Israel goes up. That is, in spirit, if he doesn't live in Jerusalem, he may live in Tel Aviv, but he has gone up to Jerusalem. And he is made aliyah, or immigrated. And that's speaking, many hundreds and hundreds of Jews have already immigrated to Israel like that. In fact, in 1949, the entire Jewish community of Iraq en masse migrated to Israel overnight. And that's the way it's going to be when this prophecy is fulfilled. He's telling the Israel as a nation, lift up your eyes all around you and see. They all gather together. They come to you. The final ingathering of Israel after that terrible darkness that he spoke of in verse 2. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip like a mother carrying an infant. I noticed when we were in Paraguay that that's the way all of those mothers there carry their babies. And I've seen it here too, but there it was just the custom, carry a baby on the hip. And then you shall see and be radiant. This will be the time of Israel's joy. They have been the saddest of all people, but this will be the time of their joy. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. Israel was a very energy deficient nation. They depended on natural gas from Iraq through a pipeline through Jordan. And during the original Jewish War of Independence, the Arabs blew up that pipeline. They right now are getting most of their natural gas and petroleum from Egypt. Now the Muslim Brotherhood threatens to cut off that source. But just recently, in recent years, and it's just come out in their news, that they have discovered more natural gas offshore of the eastern Mediterranean, in the offshore waters that they control, to make them energy independent for generations. So that's a part of the abundance of the sea that shall be turned to them. But in context, this word, the abundance of the sea, means commerce. They shall be a center of commerce for all of that part of the world. Today, all of the nations have boycotted Israel, even Europe. And most of the Arab nations boycott Israel today. But the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of all the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. This means the camel caravans coming in from the eastern and the southern desert countries, bringing trade into the country, speaking of the way trade came in the days of Isaiah. The young camels of Midian and Ephah. Now, Midian and Ephah were Arabs in what is today the northwest part of Saudi Arabia, called the Hejaz. And those from Sheba shall come. This is from South Arabia, from what is today the nation of Yemen. And they shall bring gold and frankincense. There is much gold in eastern Arabia, in those mountains that the Romans called Arabia Felix or Happy Arabia. And frankincense was native to Yemen. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. That is, they shall worship Israel, Israel's God. All the flocks of Kedar. Kedar was in North Arabia, to the east of the Midian. And all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. It was noted for its great pastures before Arabia became so desert dry as it is today. And the rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. This is another central Arabian people of that time. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. And all of these nations are today bitter foes of Israel, seeking to exterminate them. But there will be a great change in that day. The Lord said, they will come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. There is no altar, and there is no beautiful house on that mountain today. In place of the temple, there is that dome of the rock, where it is the most prominent architectural feature of Jerusalem today. In fact, it has come to symbolize the city of Jerusalem. It's a Muslim shrine to Abraham, and inside of that dome of the rock, all around the base of the dome, there's Arabic writing. And our guide, and also some other writings that I have read, says that Arabic writing inside that dome of the rock is curses on all Jews and Christians. So there is no altar there today. Instead, it's the Mosque of Omar. And there is no temple today. Instead, it's the Dome of the Rock. So there will be a lot of changes when this comes about. But you know, change can happen very quickly. And especially when God causes it, can happen even overnight. And the very fact of Israel's existence as a nation today means we are close to that time. So, as Francis Schaeffer would say, how should we then live knowing this? And then the prophet continues to speak at the time of this great ingathering of the peace of Jerusalem. The psalmist said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And this is the prayer of all Israel today, for the peace of Jerusalem. It should be for the prayer of Christians also. As we left Israel, and I shook our guide's hand, I says, we will pray for you and for the peace of Jerusalem. And he very emotionally said, thank you. So there'll be great and wonderful changes when this happens at the time of the peace of Jerusalem. So in the next several verses, we read the prophet's description. Who are these that fly like a cloud and fly like doves to their windows? The great immigration of the Iraqi Jews to Israel was by the Israeli airline, El Al. El Al in Hebrew means the uplift. And so they all flew into Israel like a cloud, and the Jews cite this scripture when speaking about it. But that may be the way that the final immigration will be. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall hope for me, that is, the coastlands and the islands of the Mediterranean. The ships of Tarshish first. Tarshish was their name for what is now Spain, but it came to be known as all of the distant lands to the west, about which they knew little. The ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and their gold with them. For the name of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, that is, in their dispersion. But in my favor I have had mercy on you. For your gates shall be open continuously. They will have no need of secure borders. Then they will have no need for outposts on the frontier. They have no need for that thick wall around the old city of Jerusalem. For your gates shall be open continually. Day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings and their led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid to waste. Hamas, take note. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you. The cypress, the plane tree, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. That is, Jerusalem will be as the footstool of the throne of God. The sons of those who afflict you shall come bending low to you, that is, bowing down to the ground, and all who despise you shall bow down at your feet. It's with this in view that we should think of the people of Gaza and of Egypt and of Lebanon and of Syria and of Iraq and even of Iran. All who despise you shall bow down at your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And then he speaks of divine prosperity and of eternal blessing that shall be upon Jerusalem in that day. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of the nations, and you shall nurse at the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior. and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace, and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. No more cluster bombs. No more rockets in that day. Devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall shine no more, your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. And turning to the 21st chapter of Revelation, we read about this from John's point of view, from our Christian point of view. In the beginning at the 22nd chapter of, I mean the 22nd verse of the 21st chapter of Revelation, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord." This is Jerusalem from above. "For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there." That is the heavenly Jerusalem, and here is the earthly Jerusalem in earthly correspondence to it. "The sun, their gates shall never be closed," we read, "and the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give your light." That is, they won't depend upon them, even figuratively speaking. "But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your glory will, your God will be your glory. And your sun shall no more go down." I used to hear when I was young that the sun never sets on the British Empire. That is, their possessions were around the globe. But then the sun did set on the British Empire. But here he said, "Your sun will never go down. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall be all be righteous." That will be a drastic change. "Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, the Lord will plant them in their land like he planting a vineyard. That I may be glorified, or that my glory may be shown or manifested. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it." And that is a phrase for us to remember. In its time. The prophet left that time indefinite. And even Jesus, when speaking of his return to earth, left it indefinite. He said, "I will come again," but he did not say when. We may not have time to finish this next chapter, but let's go into it because it's a wonderful chapter too. And we have the interpretation of these opening verses in the gospel. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them beautiful headdress for ashes, or the King James says, to give them beauty for ashes. And turning to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 16, and he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So he himself said that in his ministry, he was fulfilling this prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. But if you have your Bibles open, you will note that Jesus did not quote the whole of the prophecy. He stopped short. He said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and he stopped. He did not go on to say in the day of vengeance of our God, that is when he would avenge Israel of the nations, to comfort all who mourn, and to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of gladness for mourning. He did not say that, because he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And whether or not all of these blessings of the prophets would be fulfilled then depended upon his acceptance by the nation as their true Messiah and as their king. But since the common people heard him gladly, but the rulers and all of the influential people, they rejected him, and thus they rejected the kingdom. So the full fulfillment of this prophecy still awaits that glorious day that will dawn, as we read of in the beginning of chapter 60. And we won't have time to finish all the rest, so we'll take up that chapter next week.